Welcome to another episode of Bros 3 Podcast for May 23rd, 2021. And how are you doing, fam? I say, how are you doing? Are you making good decisions? Are you showing love to people? Are you giving them flowers while they're here? Well, I hope you are. And if you're not, today is the perfect day to start. So, let's see. Friday, May 21st, 2021. I had the honor and privilege and pleasure of turning 41. It's a good feeling. Like, you know, I'm a little bit more stiffer when I wake up. Take me a little bit more long to get going. But realistically, man, I feel 28. You know, I feel young in spirit, you know. And partly due to changes I've been making over the last 2 weeks. I've been treating myself better. I've been trying to eat better. I decided not to wallow in negativity, but to look at the brighter side of things. You know, I encourage you to do it. I really do. I am aware that certain thoughts are still there, but I don't let them put me in a negative headspace. You know, I'm learning to accept things. I'm learning to be candid to myself, talk nicer to myself, my internal dialogue, you know. And I encourage y'all to get at a go, you know. I was talking to one of my friends, because I've been reaching out to people. I was talking to one of my friends, and, you know, we all are kind of dealing with anxiety, like the uncertainty of what's going on. And my friend, she told me she grew up with anxiety. Like, she said she had anxiety before it was cool, you know. She said, you know, she feel like people are taking her shine, you know. Like, she grew up in high school, and like, she had to go home and try to figure out what was wrong with her. You know, she didn't have a social media to reach out to, and, you know, people that could interact with her without her anxiety kicking up. Like, right now, we can send a text, and, you know, you can have a conversation without being involved in the conversation. So she was saying that, like, now, even, like, people who quote unquote had the perfect life, they saying they got anxiety, but they can also show the whole world how great they're dealing with the anxiety. Like, famous people talking about, yeah, I got anxiety and, you know, depression, but at the same time, I made this sourdough loaf of bread. Please like, share, and subscribe. Or, yeah, I'm dealing with crippled depression, but I made this beautiful reef and cooked for my family as we did yoga. Anyway, pray for us because life is so hard. LOL, we on the yacht. You know, she said it didn't feel fair. And I didn't want to tell her, but, like, yeah, I'm kind of dealing with anxiety. I ain't want to ride the bandwagon. You know what I'm saying? But it's true. Like, I can't do large groups of people. Please excuse the tippity taps. That's Ebony. She coming in here trying to see who I'm talking to. Yeah, I can't do large groups of people. Like, certain social situations drain my energy way more than they used to. And I got to sit in the house for a couple days and kind of regroup. I used to be party man. Just go out there and, you know, live it up. But yeah, going out in public is definitely a thing for me now. So I don't go out unless, like, shopping. Like, I used to go to Myers, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning just to look at the people. But yeah, I can't do that anymore. So sometimes I run out of stuff. And because I live by myself, I can run out of stuff and not realize it until I need it. Perfect example. I'm in the bathroom, you know, taking care of some business, and I look around, I'm like, oh no, I got no toilet paper. Oh man, okay, let's rectify this situation. Put this on my checklist. First thing to do, get some toilet paper. Got to get some toilet paper. So I go to work, come home, you know, stomach kind of, you know, need some attention. I go, I sit down, I'm like, God dog it. I knew I forgot something, and that's what I forgot. So I'm like, okay, Tony, come on. Get it together now. Come on. Take two. Let's get this. Toilet paper situation taken care of, right? So while I'm thinking about that, I'm like, you know, once, since I gotta go out there anyway, Let's just get everything I need. I don't want to see the outside world unnecessarily for at least 2 weeks. So I'm like, all right, cool. I put on some music. I'm like, I'm focused. I'm putting on, I got on some Metallica. Like, I'm about to, I'm attacking the world because I got to go get these, you know, supplies. So I drive to Target. Some people call it Target. Get in my car, drive to Target. Park my car away from everybody else. That's just my thing. Get out the car, put both my masks up. Boom, hit the door. Woman's like, can we interest you into a certain? No, get out of my way. Some guy's like, yo, would you like to try a free service? Get out my way. I ain't trying to look at nothing. I don't want no sales paper. Get out my way. I pay full price. Move. Right? So I realize I need some pants. So I'm going back to Target. They got this, like, this wall set up. And it's got all kind of relaxed fit, straight leg, boot cut, athletic jeans, which is an oxymoron to me, but whatever. I look for my size. I'm just going down the aisle. Everything in my size, I'm throwing in my cart. Boom, boom, boom. Boom. I'm never buying pants again, y'all. Never buying pants again. I would lose weight before I buy pants again. I bought like 5 pairs of pants. Then I go, I'm like, all right, cool. Toilet paper. I'd be doggone if I forget toilet paper. That's the whole reason for the mission. So I go to the toilet paper aisle, and like the big bundles is gone. Like the 24 rolls, those bundles is gone. They got some 18s, you know, some 12s. And I ain't sitting here trying to hoard. You know what I'm saying? I just like, only thing I need is, I need 4 rolls. That get me, you know, that get me to where I need to be until I get the courage to come back out again. So I'm looking, and I don't know how much stuff costs. You know, I'm a dude. Like, if I need it, I put it in the cart. If it's too expensive, I find a cheaper version of it, right? So I look at the 4 packs, and I see one's like 5-6 bucks. And I'm like, I don't seem right. So I look over. I see one for like $5. Okay, cool. That seems reasonable. I don't know if it's a good price. I know all the moms is like, $5 for a full roll of toilet paper. I don't know. So I grab the roll and I'm looking at it because it's not a brand I've seen before. This ain't Scott's tissue. This ain't Angel Soft. This ain't Charmin. You know, the Bears always, which I don't understand. Them Bears always shaking their butts and talking about how clean their buttholes are. Like, I don't know what this is. So I threw it in there, but then I looked at it. And I read the line, it said, made from bamboo. I'm like, huh. I'll think about that later, right? So I buy all my stuff, and then I'm heading out. So now I got time to think, because I'm outside the air. I take off both my masks. I'm like, bamboo. I'm like, is that better? Is that worse to clean your hiney? Like, not going to lie, I felt classy a little bit. I felt like I was hanging out with brother number 2, like, that's something brother number 2 would have in his house. Like, yo, I need to use your bathroom.
yes, please. Go by the marble statue and please excuse the woman playing the harp. That's just what she does. That's what she's paid for. Yes, once you sit on the throne, it's gold. You will see to your left, there is a roll. There's a roll we call the guy who holds the toilet paper. There's a person who holds it. We on the roll, there is toilet paper made from bamboo.
So I'm like, okay, bamboo. I'm like, wait a minute. Bamboo is what pandas eat. And pandas are like in danger. Like, are they taking food? The food source of the pandas? Because pandas don't eat nothing but primarily bamboo. So it's like, are there bamboos like sitting there like,
hungry?
And like, no, this is going to America so someone can wipe their butt with it.
Like, well, can I go to America too?
No. Like, man, America must be a great place if they wiping their butt with the food source of an endangered animal. Right? But then I'm like, okay, well, normal paper, toilet paper comes, I'm assuming, from the rainforest. I mean, that's what trees, they come from trees. So, but it's like, okay, so do you cut down the toucan's house, or the marmoset and all those animals, the jaguars, because they walk around in the rainforest. They're like, yes, I need a place to hide and to stalk. And then somebody come through with a chainsaw and cut down their living quarters. And like, oh man, what are you doing with these trees? These trees are going to America. And what would they do with these trees in America? They're gonna wipe their butt with it. Oh, America must be a great place. So, hold on for a second. 1 second. 1 second, y'all. Anyway, all right, so yeah, like I'm sorry, y'all, people trying to reach me, that was kind of important. So I'm fancy, I guess. So I got bamboo toilet paper. I feel kind of bad about it though, but it is what it is. So anyway, I digress. Yesterday, for my birthday, brother number two, and he's a very classy guy. Like, he does things, right? He's that guy. He's the guy, he does things. So for my birthday, he took me and my mom and, you know, other people to go see the Marvel exhibit at, where was it? The Museum of Science and Industry. Now, y'all, I've been a Marvel fan before it was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to walk, like, when I was, like, in fifth grade. I used to walk to the Walgreens. They had, like, a little rack of comic books. And, you know, I used to get down. You know, I really enjoyed comic books. And I adore the movies. You know, last year was the first year that I did not set foot in a movie theater. And that's a hard pill to swallow, man, because that's what I lived for. Like, you know, not just the movie experience. I didn't like the popcorn. I used to sneak my own food in, you know, going there. I had me a jacket on, you know, had me cheeseburger in one pocket, you know, just the whole, not candy, chips, whatever, put some drinks up in there, you know. And, you know, that was my experience. I used to love it. So anyway, with anything you love though, you can find something to nitpick if you choose to, you know. And if I had one nitpick about comics or comic movies, some of the logic don't quite line up, specifically the movies. Like, I'm not a big fan of seeing violence. Now, comic violence is a little bit different, but certain things, when you start thinking about it, kind of like takes you out of the immersion process. Specifically, like, when the bad guy comes in and, like, he like, behold, I'm the bad guy. And they have like, you'll never get away with this. And like, shut up. That's a regular person. Like, you'll never get away with this. And the bad guy like, shut up, sucker. And then punch him, right? And this person go flying back 10, 15 feet and hit a brick wall. And when he hit the brick wall, he leave an indentation in the wall, dust flying up. And the guy just slumps down and he just shakes his head like, ooh, that bad guy isn't to be played with. It's just a regular person there. He ain't the main superhero. Family, I'm going to tell you this. If you get punched 10, 15 feet, whatever, you fly into a wall, I don't care if it's brick or not, you snapping your spinal cord, you breaking some ribs. Like, you're going to crack the back of your head at least. Like, you ain't going to just shake your head like, ooh, that kind of smarted a little bit. Like, that ain't, I never liked that. You know, and if you really want to start looking into stuff, like, you know, Wolverine got, you know, metal bones, right? He's supposed to be heavy. So how this man doing backflips over people? You know, if you want to just, you know, start nitpicking, Spider-Man got the strength of proportionate to a spider, but Spider-Man ain't got, like, you know, he's still a human, right? So if somebody, like, you know, punch him into a brick wall, Spider-Man's going to be spider paraplegic. You know, he got 8 legs, but 4 of them don't work. You know, he's going to be a superhero from the top up. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I love Captain America, right? I love all these people. You know, I love Marvel, I love DC. I love it all. Love it all. Right? Captain America's supposed to have a super serum giving the strength of 10 men. Right? Okay, cool. Captain America's over here ripping the tops off of tanks. So you mean tell me if 10 brothers all got together, they could rip the top off a tank? They could, what? You need 2 dudes just to move a couch. You know? You need 2 guys to move a refrigerator. 10 people can probably push over a car. They're not going to pick it over their head and throw it back at Doc Octopus. You know, it's just, that's just what it is. Like, I love, what's that boy name? I love Batman. You know? I love Batman. Batman, you know, sit on top of rooftops and stuff. Be looking down. I wonder what they're doing over there. Right? They do. He does all that. Let me jump down and investigate. Look, y'all. I'm 41. I don't know how old Batman's supposed to be. I'm asking y'all this. The older people in the family. When the last time you jumped down more than two steps? I ain't talking about, you know, you kind of spread your leg like you kind of step down. I'm talking about jump down from 10, from two steps. When the last time you jumped down from more than 4 feet? Did your knees kind of shake a little bit? What I'm saying is this. I like Batman, but he's a regular person. You sit on top of the rooftop. Have you tried to look in the dark? I can't even read stuff that's too close or too far away. I can't see nobody selling drugs in an alleyway from a rooftop. And let it be raining. Mm-mm. No, no. Batman's going home today. That's just what it is, y'all. And, you know, that. And then even, okay, let's take it back a little bit. Like, I grew up on karate movies. You know, Enter the Dragon, you know, Five Deadly Venoms. I like that. I like all that stuff. You know, especially Bruce Lee. I like Bruce Lee. Grew up on Bruce Lee. The thing is, because, you know, it shows like you can overcome things. Bruce Lee, in a sense, if he would continue to live, could have arguably been kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, just because of his tenacity, the way he moved, his cultural icon, he could have pivoted himself into a lot of different lanes. You know, but he was taken, you know, he was taken early. Anyway, speaking of Bruce Lee, fun fact, Bruce Lee, back when he was a younger man, he used to live in San Diego, I do believe. Whichever one had the bridge, I'm not sure which one. It could have been San Francisco. Anyway, they had like a little flourishing gay scene there, right? So what he would do, you know, he would put on like a blouse. And you got to realize it was the 60s or 70s. You know, bell bottoms are tight anyway. He would put on a blouse. And he would go out, just walk the street, you know, just mind his own business. And, you know, people were intolerant back then. Like, hey, what's up, you gay guy? Look at you being all gay. Stop being so gay. As they picked their afros, they brushed their, you know, well, they probably had perm white people afros. Hey, yeah, stop being so gay not on my streets. And then from there, he'd be like, drop him and keep on moving. That was just his thing. I think that was his way of letting people know, like, don't be intolerant. Like, you never know what somebody going through. You never know what somebody is capable of. You know, whoop them and leave them in the street. Anyway, yeah, I like the Bruce Lee movies. But Bruce Lee would go into a room, like 20 black belts. So all these guys, they accomplished some things, black belts. He'd go in the classroom, just walk on the mat. I'm just like, real quick. All right, so one of you touched my sister, and that cannot stand. And then the instructor would come up, like, hey, man, first and foremost, you got your shoes on my mat. That's against the rules. Second of all, how dare you come in here, talk stuff to me and my squad? Me and my squad? And all the little students with their black belt, straight up their geese, like, yeah, he come up in here like he knows somebody. And Bruce was like, tell you what, I'll take on you and all these guys. And then the instructor be like, you don't want that problem. You don't want that problem. Everybody like, yeah, you don't want that problem. You don't want that problem. Take his shirt off like, let's get it. Right? Now, these fights were great. But my whole thing is this. I've seen people get jumped before. And it ain't just, I'm going to wait my turn. And then you hit him. Oh, he hit you. Well, I guess I'll take my turn now. Oh, no, after you, please, you try to hit him. Oh, he hit both of us. Let's get up and wait our turn. That ain't the way fights go. That's just what I'm saying. That ain't how fights go. But I love it regardless. Let's see. Ant-Man, I got the biggest bone to pick with Ant-Man. Reason being is, when Ant-Man gets small, the theory was, and see, okay, hold on, let me run it back. All right. Whenever you set up these fantastical worlds, you have to play by your own rules. Once you break the rules in your movie or your story, then
it opens up to a lot of fallacies. Like, it's like, okay, well, nothing means nothing anymore, right? So the whole thing with Ant-Man is the spaces between the atoms get closer. That's why he shrinks, but he keeps his mass. All right, I need y'all to keep that in your head. He's tiny, but he's still a 200-pound man. Right? Okay. So, and that's how we shrink things, right? We're not taking the atoms away. We're taking the space around atoms away. And that brings it down, shrinks it in size, right? But it does not take away mass. Big difference. All right? So, you got Ant-Man. He's sitting there. He's like, hey, real quick, I ride ants. Okay. So, 200-pound man just riding on that. Like, you've crushed your premise of how you made this world. Or like, even in the movie, right? Which, again, I love these movies, right? Ant-Man's running toward a guy, and the guy's got a gun. Like, stop Ant-Man! And, you know, the bad guy pulls the trigger, bullet comes flying out. Ant-Man shrinks down. Beep, 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 boom. Right? He's still running. So, he jumps on top of the bullet, pew, and jumps off the bullet, pew, and runs up the guy's arm. And then from there, he grabs the guy by the collar while he's still small, and then flip him. What? Right? Okay. So what you're telling me is you've unproved or you disproved your logic. Or even, okay, in the movie, again, I'm not going to make this a big thing. This is the part I was like, nope. Yeah. Everything loses the space in the atom, but it keeps its mass, right? So to have some cute little visuals, there's a building, and then Professor whoever was like, hey, real quick, we need to move this building. And then Ant-Man was like, but look at it, it's a building, how can we move it? And he go pew, throw like a little thing on it, go beep 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 beep, and then like he just wheels it up like it's a suitcase and rolls away. It's like, see, now that's the problem I got a problem with. That's the part right there. Or okay, last one I'm gonna leave alone. I grew up on the X-Men. I adore the X-Men, you know. Sometimes, you know, I like to think I'm Wolverine. Sometimes I think if I flex hard enough, bone claws are going to come out of my fist. You know how crazy it is at 41? It's like, if I believe hard enough, this is going to just happen. Like, schnink. That's the sound the claws make. Schnink. It was a bubba. I like that. You know, it won't happen, but I like to think it might. Well, the X-Men, their whole thing is, you know, once they hit puberty, their powers develop. It's a nice little analogy. You know, your body changes, and not only these changes happening physically, like you become something more, right? That's the whole gist of this thing. And, because, yeah, also puberty is a scary time. You know, you might get taller. You know, almost, you know, kind of like a mutation, or you get hair certain places, you know, or, you know, women develop curves and guys wake up with morning wood, you know, the whole situation. But like, imagine, you know, you are a teenager, right? You go to sleep one day, the next day you wake up, and young ladies, you know, you go to school like every other day, and while you're sitting in class, you know, you start, you know, start your menstruals, right? You're sitting in class, and then you stand up, and you got a, you know, a little stain on the back of your pants or something. You go in the bathroom, and you freaking out. You know, you don't know what's going on. Then you turn into a werewolf. You know, like, the reason I even had this thought is because I watched the movie The New Mutants, right? And, again, the premise is when you become, start, you know, changing as an adult, you get these powers. But how would that work? Like, okay, so you're a young man, and, you know, you start... You start noticing girls, and you go to sleep. Now, guys, when we start becoming of age, you might get what they call nighttime emissions. Nighttime emissions is a wet dream, right? So imagine, like, you know, you're a young man, you go to sleep, you know, had dinner with the family, go in the room, whatever, go to sleep. You have a dream about the girl that you like, the cutest girl, the cheerleader or whatever. And then you wake up. You know, not only is your bed wet, but you teleport to Tokyo. You know, like, it's there's if you start thinking about certain things, then it gets a little weird, I guess. Yeah, so Anyway, I guess it's time for the BTP news, y'all. Now, I have not been on the social medias. I have not really been checking the news because it's a lot of bad news. And, you know I seen the song, don't nobody give me no bad news, but I don't have a, what's that person? I don't have a producer, and my setup ain't really, man, music ain't really, it ain't acting the way I want to. So we're going to do this. I'm going to sing it. You know, that's what I'm going to do. Okay. Bing, 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 bing. Oh, wait a minute. Now it's time for the BTP news. You know, you think if I listen to that song for 3 years, you think I would know the words. So don't nobody bring me no bad news, cause I think I'm already negative and I'm flying up my view. So don't nobody bring me no bad news. Oh, no bad news, no bad news. Okay, there you go. Alright, so the premise is real simple. I found some headlines I like. I do not read the story. From there, I bring it to you, and we try to figure out what happened. All right. First story. Let's see. Bride marries wedding guest after groom goes missing. Okay. Let's see. All right. So let's see. This sound like if I had to put a story to this. Okay. This had to happen somewhere down south. This is what I'm thinking. Or. Yeah, let's put it down south, right? And this young lady, she, let's call her Sheila. Sheila's always wanted to get married. Like, ever since she was a kid, she had, like, little journals and notebooks, and she would write about her wedding. She would draw, like, little pictures. And she thought she'd get married young, you know? She had the dress all planned out. She was just, that's just what she did in her spare time. She planned her wedding. She didn't have a picture with that. She had no idea what the guy was going to be, but she knew she was going to be dead. She was going to be laid, right? So, you know, 20s go by, she don't get married. 30s go by, she don't get married. 40, now she desperate. I mean, she ain't met a couple boyfriends, and she, you know, had a couple relationships, but no, at 40, you know, she grasping at straws, right? So she meet a young man, you know, name is Robert. Robert's a good guy. He's a little bit of a nerd. Never had a girlfriend before. He was like the X-Man. He teleported to Japan. Took him a long time to get back. He did. So, you know, Robert meets Sheila. And everything's going pretty good. And Sheila's like, look, we need to get married. Like, I want to get married, like, now. Like, we only been knowing each other for, like, 3 months. She's like, no, I can just see. I can just tell. You the one. Right? And he's like, all right, cool. Right? So, Sheila, she's planning everything. Robert, he's sitting there. He's trying to talk to her. He's trying to communicate with this woman. Like, look, man, you know, maybe we should just take some time off. She's like, no, I set this date. I got the hall. My girls got their dresses. She being a little bit of a bridezilla. She ain't listening because communication is the biggest part of any relationship. Right? So Robert's sitting there. He got his tux on. It's powder blue, which he don't like. But that's okay because it's Sheila's day. It ain't they day. It's Sheila's day. Right? Sheila freaking out. She yelling at her mom. She yelling at the bridesmaid. She made them lose 10 pounds. And their dress is all hideous. Right? So the music starts. And Sheila's walking down the aisle. Right? Bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. And she's being led down by her dad. He's an older guy. He's a retired vet. You know, he's like, this is the proudest day of my life. And she was like, I know, Dad, but stay on beat. And he was, they asked when you get married, they say, the preacher man say, who get this woman away so that she may be wed? And the dad's like, I do. And he look at her, he's like, I'm so proud of you, baby. He's like, she like, I know, but don't make me cry because it's going to make my eyes loud to run. So anyway, they go up there and Sheila looking at all her single girlfriends and stuff like, jealous, ain't you? I can't wait till Robert come down this aisle, right? So they start playing the music again. Boom, ba-da-ba-boom, ba-da-ba-boom, ba-da-ba-boom. That sound like the Darth Vader thing. But you get what I'm saying, right? So then the doors open up. Bam, both the double doors open up. And Robert's supposed to be sitting right there. And Robert ain't there. So the ushers close the door again. They start it up again. Boom, ba-da-ba-boom, ba-da-ba-boom, boom, ba-da-ba-boom, ba-da-ba-boom. And they open up the doors. and Robert ain't there. So now the people and the artists looking at each other like, who said what, right? So then somebody go look in the hallway like, Robert gone. And then she was like, what? Like, no, Sheila, he can't be gone. What you mean gone? And they, you know, people poke their head up like, yeah, no, he gone. His car, his 87 Torcel gone. He gone, right? So now it's an uproar in the church. Oh, what's going on? What's up? She grabbed a cell phone, old school flip phone. She like, boop, 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 boop. She like, Robert, where are you? Where are you? Like, she sent it straight to voicemail. Right? So anyway, Sheila freaking out. She's inconsolable. Like, she like, no, no, not today, not today. And she just pointed to some dude, you. And dude was like, who? Huh? Me? He's like, yeah, you get out there. Right? Brother wearing like a polo shirt. He wearing blue jean shorts because he ain't classy like that. It's a wedding. He's supposed to look nice. Right? He's got on some sketches. Right? So he goes up there. He got knee brace on too. So he hobbles up there. He's like, huh, what's going on? She's like, Will, what's your name? And she was like, my name's Tyrone. Like, Tyrone, we're getting married. And he was like, okay, cool. The whole thing is, now that I think about it, you got to sign a marriage certificate. And the bad thing, the preacher was like, look, man, I get paid either way. Yo, Tyrone, do you take Sheila with her desperate self to get married? He was like, man, look, I guess. And they got married. That's the story. All right, let's see. Let's see how close we were to the thing. Bride marries wedding guests. And you know, now I think about it, maybe they was cheating. Because you don't just have a standby. Women have emergency dudes that they can call for certain things. But not on your wedding day. You know what? Tyrone was that dude. Yup, Tyrone was that guy. Okay, here we go. One recent bride made the most of an unfortunate situation after her wedding went awry. After her husband unexpectedly disappeared, she went through with the wedding, albeit with another man. The Tribune reports that the incident took place on Monday in the town of, I can't say that word, in the Indian state of Madhya Pradesh. According to the news outlet, the couple had just completed their jaimala, or exchange of garlands, when the groom went missing. At the time, their families were getting ready for the main ceremony. The bride was apparently distressed by the news. Family members reportedly searched for the groom in a state of frenzy, but he was nowhere to be found. Eventually, it became clear that the groom had not gone missing under mysterious conditions. Rather, he had purposely fled the scene for reasons still unknown. Finally, one of the groom's guests suggests that the marriage continue. That's a hater right there. Look, man, I ain't saying, look, I got dressed. I came all the way to Madras hard for nothing. Man, look, somebody getting married. But this time with a set of suitable wedding guests as the groom. The bride's family deliberated the pool of potential husbands and the groom's wedding party, called a barat, B-A-R-A-A-T, and settled on an eligible suitor. There, at that same venue, the bride married her new groom. Well, according to the Tribune, the bride's family found a complaint against the groom and his family after the wedding. An official reportedly released a statement on the matter. We have received a complaint in this regard from both the bride and the groom's side. While the bride's side has sought suitable action against the groom and his family members, the groom's father, in his complaint, has sought police help to trace his missing son. Dang, he really fled, huh? Oh, okay, well, there you go. All right, our final story is, let's see, Indiana National Guardsman arrested after allegedly stealing pawning military supplies. All right, now, being from Indiana, I know that a large part of Indiana is like rural farming land and stuff like that. So I'm imagining this little guardsman, you know, maybe grew up somewhere in southern Indiana, and let's call him, let's see, Randall. We'll call him Randall. Randall something. We'll come up with a last name in a minute. And, you know, he grew up in these cornfields next to a farmhouse. And his dad, you know, his dad fought in Operation Desert Storm. Like, he signed up. He was like, well, when 9/11 happened, 2001, I felt the need. No. The privilege, the honor, and the obligation to serve my country. And guess what, little Randy, when your time comes, you shall do the same, like your daddy before you, and your dad, and your granddad. Like, we fought in all the wars dating back to the Civil War. And Randy was like, what side did we fight on? It's not important. There were two sides, and we were on the side that you know, anyway, I digress. Anyway, little Randy, you know, you keep throwing that ball and playing next to that tractor, doing American things, and when your time comes, you turn 18, you will be a part of this great nation and this great privilege of ours, our family. Right? So, you know, he goes through school, whole 9, 18. His dad drives him in his pickup truck, beat-up pickup truck, drive him down to a local recruiter. Randy never had a say. His dad walks in the office. The recruiter stands up like, what do you want? I'm here to sign my son up for the American fighting forces. Saying, which one would you like to join up with? Well, he wants to go Army. Right? And Randy was like, but I also want to be a painter. You're not going to be a mamby-pamby painter in my house. You're going to join the Army. And then, like, they came to a decision. And real quick, how about I just do it part-time? I'll just become a guardsman. Like, I'm still serving my country. If the country needs me, Dad, Pop. If my country needs me, Pop, I'm there. I'll pick up them arms. All right, fine. But that art thing, that's sissy work. That's woman's work there. All right, okay, fair enough. So, little Randy, he joins the Army. Guardsman. First day of boot camp. He realized he don't like it. They yelling at him. Private! Private! Like, what's your name, Private? My name is Randy. You don't have a first name in the American Army. What is your name, Private? My name is Randy. Randy Parts. All right, listen here, Private Parts. Wait a minute. Private Parts? Yes, sir. Listen here, Private Parts. You're going to become a man. Right? We're going to make you tough. Private Parts, we're going to make you a hard fighting American force. Are you ready to get hard, Private Parts? Yes, sir. Are you ready to get hard, Private Parts? Yes, sir. Right? So, they running, right? First day, wake them up. 5 o'clock in the morning, crack of dawn. They hit the trail. They running, right? So, but, you know, Randy, a.k.a. Private Parts, he falling behind a little bit. Drill Sergeant, go back a little bit. He like, Private Parts! Yes, sir! Why are you lagging behind? Why are my private parts in the back when they should be in the front? Well, sir, I kind of got asthma. You got what? I got asthma, sir. Well, where's your pump, sir? Huh? My private part ain't got no pumps. Sir, you pump it, right? Let me tell you something, private parts. Are you a fish? No, sir. I can't tell it, because everything on God's green earth breathes air but fish. You can't breathe air, can you, sir? No, sir. Well, you're a fish. So anyway, after doing that for 3-4 months, he gets disillusioned. He's like, you know what? I don't owe them nothing. And it was his turn. It was Private Parts' turn to drive some stuff around the base, right? He's going to drop off supplies to different places, right? And Private Parts like, I can't do this no more. But also, I ain't got no money. So what do I do? He goes to the front gate, right? He's in the truck, right? And they pull up. You know, if you got to salute, they salute back. Say, Private Parts, where are you taking this load? Well, sir, I got to take it to the base. Another base. I ain't Private Parts. Don't lag behind, right? So he gets off base like, fine, I made it. Drives to the first pawn shop he sees, right? Private Parts also young. He's 18. He don't know how to haggle, right? So he gets out the truck, right? And he goes to talk to the guy inside. It's almost like that show Pawn Shop, right? American Pawn Stars, whatever. So he goes up in there, and he's like, what can I do you for? He was like, I got some stuff I want to pawn. He's like, okay, well, let's see what you got. Let's go in the back of the truck, see what you got. Right? So he goes up in there. So Private Parts, he opens up the box. He's like, well, here, we got some M16s. He's like, okay, M16s. Oh, okay. And he picks it up, looks at it, inspects it. Well, a little worn. You know, there's dust right here. Okay, well, what else you got? And now, you know, Private Parts realize he's getting desperate. He's like, well, I got a tank. Oh, okay, you got a tank. Well, let's check it out. All right, gets in the tank. He's like, see, it got the bullet, the gun up front, the turret. It moves left and right. He's like, okay. Well, these treads are kind of dirty. What else you got? And Randy like, oh, I got these MREs. I got these ready to eat meals. Oh, okay, picks it up. Chicken dumpling, huh? I'll give you $50 for the whole truck. And Randy like, $50? Like, that's a whole tank. Yeah, but you know, it's a 1981 pre-era catalytic converters busted. I'll give you $50. I'm like, all right, sold. And then from there, Private Parts is emancipated. All right, let's see. How'd the story go? Okay. Indiana National Guardsman arrested after allegedly stealing, pawning military supplies. An Indiana National Guardsman is being charged with stealing and pawning more than 13,000 of military equipment from the Army. The brother's name, he's 29, from Marion, was booked into the Kosciuszko County Jail at 6:17 p.m. Tuesday and charged with theft. According to the probable cause affidavit filed on May 3rd, on March 1st, a Warsaw Police Department detective was contacted by a captain at the Indiana National Guard who said the guard had been conducting an internal investigation into the theft of supplies and equipment being stolen from the armory. The captain told the detective that the brother was pawning military equipment and supplies to the trading post in Marion and that the brother had presented a memorandum signed by another guard captain authorizing to sell the items to the trading post. According to the court papers, that memorandum was reviewed and found to be forged with a signature at the bottom of the document. The affidavit alleged that between late 2019 and December 2020, the brother pawned military equipment supplies totaling $7,700 that had been paid out to the brother. The items, the guard says, were pawned included helmets, kits, speakers, ammo cans, and camping cots. The guard also provided police with a list of items that were stolen. The total monetary value to the Indiana Army National Guard is listed at $13,000, according to court papers. As a result of the investigation, according to the affidavit, McKay had a pending charge of forgery. A level 6 felony in the Grant County court system. When police spoke to the brother, according to the affidavit, he allegedly meant to pawn in the item, said, I understood I have made a mistake and just want to make it right and continue a career in the ARNG. I didn't mean to hurt anyone or waste anyone's time. I love this organization and want to do whatever I have to do to make this right. Now, I'm going to tell you, now that I read the story, I kind of want to put brother number 3 in that story. I mean, I don't know, because, you know, brother number 3, he kind of like me. You know, you steal from me, we got to have words, you know. So, brother number 3, he's a staff sergeant? He's a sergeant or something? I don't know. I can just imagine them coming like, brother number 3, sergeant, sir, brother number 3. Oh, yeah, what seems to be the problem? Private? Apparently, Private Parts went missing. What? Run it back. Who Private Parts missing? No, sir. I mean, like, the private, his name's Randall Parts. Apparently he left. Oh, where'd he go? He left with a truck. And what was in the truck? Our stuff. Whose stuff? Our stuff, sir. Oh, not my stuff. He stole my stuff? Yeah, Sergeant, Staff Sergeant, brother number 3. Oh, gas up the tank. We ride tonight? Yeah, you gonna do this to me? Anyway, I digress. Yo, this has been another episode of Bro 3 Podcast. If you like what you heard, please, the thing. You hit the favorite button. I think it comes to, if you Spotify, iTunes, all that type stuff. If you hit that, I think you get updates. I'm not really sure. If you need words of encouragement, you just want to chop it up, yo, call me. 219-964-7781. If you got concerns, criticisms, anything, feel free to reach out. I want y'all to do y'all best. Yo, 41. It's going to be a great year, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we setting our focus on great things. And I hope you do the same thing. I love y'all so much. Be sweet. Be kind. All right, bye. How do I start this thing? Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bros 3 Podcast for Monday, May 31st, 2021. And how you doing, fam? I say, how are you doing? A big shout out, words of recognition to our men and women in the armed forces. I thank you for your service and your sacrifice more than you'll ever know. All right, so let's get to it. I have to make amends. The last episode, I was telling you about going to the Museum of Science and Industry to see the Marvel exhibit. Well, in my haste, I kind of rushed over some of the people who were there. I said I went, my mom went, brother number two went, and I said other people. Well, those other people are very special to me, and they told me that they're displeasure of being left out. So with that being said, Sis was also there. Now, if you new or uninitiated to the podcast, Sis is brother number two's better half. She's a valued part of the family, and she helps with the marketing of the show, for better or for worse. She has great ideas. I just don't know how to use technology, right? So I always like to imagine Sis as the young lady from the Incredibles movie, the one who used to make the suits. I don't know what her name is, but she's a small lady, diminutive in stature, with these big glasses, very fashion forward. And I always think whenever Sis gives me ideas for the show, it's just like, darling, like, you need to pronunciate, you need to explode with life. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I went over there last night, got me a plate, you know how the uncle do. So I go over there and Sis is like, darling, I heard the podcast. I'm like, oh, well, that's what's up. I'm glad that you heard it. She was like, I do have a couple of notes. I'm like, okay, what's wrong? What's going on? She was like, well, like, I can't help but notice that you glossed over some people who were at the event with you, and that cannot stand. So I said, you know what? I will make amends. Also, my nephew was there. Brother number two has a son. Sweet kid. I didn't mention him either. With that being said, Sis, I apologize. Rojay, I'm sorry. All right, now let's get to this episode. And I know I say this a lot, but this is the truth. I am not a fan of technology. I mean, technology does a lot of great things, and I'm not going to dismiss that. I don't like the intrusiveness of certain things. I don't like, okay, so I bought myself a smartwatch that way, you know, I don't have to always pull out my phone to know what time it is. I don't have to pull out my phone to see who's texting me, any kind of alerts, emails, the whole nine, right? It just comes to my wrist. So that way it also looks a bit more professional. There's nothing worse than someone grabbing their phone every 3 minutes because they think they might be missing out instead of being in that moment. So I got me this smartwatch, right? It tracks my heart rate. You know, I can see Facebook messages, someone liked, shared, subscribed, all this. I'm just right on my wrist, you know? I feel like Inspector Gadget. Not Inspector Gadget, but his niece, you know, Penny, because she had a watch, and she be sitting there talking. And, or I can control music on my phone from my smartwatch. It's pretty cool. And if I want to be bothered, there's a Do Not Disturb button. Like, just, yeah, I'm learning new stuff about this watch every day, right? It also tracks my steps and my heart rate, all that good, right? So I got to watch it, and I got it, and I'm messing around with it a little bit. There's still features I don't understand, and I mean, that's cool, I guess, a little intrusive, but it is what it is. But my phone, like, I don't know about you, but normally I just plug my phone up
you know, keep it on the charger. Well, I guess apparently that kills the battery, life. So this new phone I got, I plug it in, I'm driving around, and it vibrates. And I'm driving, so I'm like, okay, I come to a stoplight. The phone is telling me, like, we are suspending charging because we are charged up. Like, please take us off the charger. I'm like, okay, cool, take off the charger, him, her, whatever. And then sitting right in the sun, it's a sunny day or whatever, it vibrates again. So when I get to a stoplight, I look at the little message and say, the phone is overheating. Please put us in a cool, safe space and wait for further instructions. Who running the show here? But with that being said, I take it out the sun. After about 5 minutes, come to another stoplight, and it vibrates again. I say, okay, thank you for getting us out the sun. Now we can resume regular functions. Like, look, I don't need no lip from you. I don't need, you know, I don't need that. I don't need to be told what to, the phone, like, oh, please help us because we overheating. But okay, fine. I pay for the device. It's for the best interest, quote unquote, of the device. Even though in 7 years, the phone companies can actually, like, interrupt your service and stuff to make you get a new phone. And once they got sued because of that, the courts decided, like, that was perfectly okay. Hey, I mean, this is the world we live in. Like, even a couple months ago, I saw in Japan, they got these robots, right? I guess you call them machines, robots, androids, cyborgs, I don't know. But they got these machines in hospitals where sometimes you have to give a semen sample at the hospital. I don't really know. I mean, I know why you would if you're trying to have a child. That makes sense. But that means somebody dedicated themselves to make this process, you know, I guess less shameful. So what you do is you go into the room, and I guess it's like a sleeve, for lack of a better word, like a latex condom, I guess, you put on. And you basically stick your situation in this machine, and then the machine takes care of the rest. Now, I don't trust my tender vitals to everything. You know, like, I don't think you should be placing your body parts in machines. You know, like, I've seen the scary movies when the rise of the robots happen, you know, and then that thing, you know, mangles you in some odd way. I'm trying to keep it PC for the family, you know. And also, I'm assuming that the robot talks, you know, what the hell is I miss? And you're like, oh, mushy, mushy. And you're like, please place your situation over here, you know, and then you put your situation in, and they're like, please wait while we extract the sample. You know, like, what's the difference between that? You know, nope, not gonna say that. Anyway, yeah, so there's robots in Japan, and if you need a sample extracted, they got machines that can do that. I think the thing I don't like is computers don't have no shame. You know, computers do the nastiest thing. You know, you say something to a computer, computer just go. Like, please let me do the thing that you like. And it's like, yeah, but if ain't no shame involved, like, what's the fun in that? Like, oh, I make you feel good. Like, nah, there's no feelings involved in that. Anyway, I got my watch on, right? And normally I don't sleep in it, but tonight I started sleeping in my watch. I didn't feel like taking it off. So, while I'm asleep, I guess my heart rate elevates, you know, I don't know. So I wake up because my wrist vibrates. My wrist vibrates, and I look at it, and on the screen is something I never seen before. It's like a $4. It says $4. It's flashing green, which I've never seen before, and there's a stack of money behind it. So I'm trying to figure out how. Why, like, congratulations, thing, $4. I'm like, how did I was just asleep. I mean, my heart rate elevated a little bit, but I earned $4 while I was asleep. Like, I don't know if my watch started an OnlyFans account or something, but I want my $4. You know, I got to have my $4. I don't know if you seen, you liked, you shared, and subscribed. But yeah, I made $4 while I was asleep, and my heart rate was a little elevated. I mean, you know, I don't know. And even, okay, so May 28th,
I don't know what day that was, but guess what, y'all? That was National Ovulation Day. You know how I know that? Because I was at a restaurant. I look at my watch, and it flashes National Ovulation Day. 8 o'clock a.m. Eating breakfast. So I look down at my watch. I'm like, and I said it out loud because I'm old. I'm trying to figure. I'm like, National Ovulation Day? And the woman at the table next to me, she was like, so whose cycle you tracking? I'm like, no, the watch said, okay, you know what? It's fine. And I just, you know, I didn't need to know that. And then the bad thing, so now I'm searching May 28th is this National Ovulation Day. Apparently it was National Hamburger Day. So my watch is just like, hey, let's mess with them, throw this out there. So that happened. You know, I've been really trying to put forth a different effort. I'm putting out different energy. You know, you get what you give. What you put out in the atmosphere, you know, it's the law of attraction in the universe. You know, you put out good, you get good. If you're looking for good, you find good. So what I've been trying to do, I've been changing some well-established habits that have not been advantageous. That's a good word. Advantageous to a better lifestyle. So with that being said, I've been stopped drinking as much. It's been a very long time. I drink non-alcoholic beers now. You know, that's my jam now. And when I go out into the world, I'm trying not to be as aggressive. So I've made like a kind of a deal with myself. Like when I go out in the world, if I see somebody, I try to say something nice to them. Or I say hi, or just something. And so I was at a gas station, and a gentleman came in. He's wearing all white, right? He had a white t-shirt on. He like he had some white Dickies on. He had black boots on, and he had a white handkerchief. He had dreads. Younger guy, beard, whatever. And I was just like, oh man, you clean, huh? He was like, yeah, man, you know, I say, that's what's up, man, all white, man, that's a tricky look to pull off, but man, you're doing it, congratulations. And he was like, yeah, I'm about to go to work. I say, word? I say, what, you a doctor or something, man, because you clean. He was like, ha, 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 hey, man, that's what's up. Okay, cool. So I paid for my stuff, and I'm heading out. Now, as I'm heading to my car, the young man has put on his work shirt. So it's an all-white outfit. He looks like Master P, Ice Cream Man or something. And he comes up, you know, he's social distancing and whatnot. I got my mask on. Now, my whole thing is our interaction was in the restaurant, in the gas station. Like, we ain't got nothing else to really talk about. So he was like, yeah, man, I work at the Indiana Sugar Factory or something. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'm sitting there looking at him. I'm like, oh, okay. And he put his shirt on. Like, he's proud of it, which is cool. He put his shirt on, whatever. And he was like, yeah, man, you know, if you know some young brothers who's down to work, you know, we need some work. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Now, you work at a sugar factory. The first thing I'm thinking, man, Willy Wonka paying? Like, how much is Willy paying? Willy bringing that change? So I was like, well, you know, I might know some people who need a job. He was like, yeah, you know, this. And I liked the fact he was a young guy and he was proud of what he was doing. So he told me how much they start off with and everything. He was like, we also need guards too and this, that, and other. So come on through. I said, hey, what's your name, bro? People always like you to ask their name. Well, they don't like it, but you putting a name to the interaction. You say, oh, my name is whatever. I'm like, okay, cool, man. Well, that's what's up, man. You keep on keeping on. Brother went to work with a pep in his step. You know, and it didn't cost me nothing. It was just something nice. But at the same time, you shouldn't say hi to everybody. That's why they tell you when you're a kid, don't talk to strangers, right? So I'm taking Ebony for a walk. No leash, because that's what we do. You know, we together. You know what I'm saying? When I walk, you walk. When I move, you move, just like that. And if you don't come around, you can belong to the streets. You know, it is what it is. It's cold out there, Ray. I'm telling you, it's cold out there. So, me and Ebony, we in the backyard. I got my little non-alcoholic beer, but I ain't got my glasses on. So, I can't see nothing most of the time. So, we out in the alley. And we go back a little bit farther past the house. So I'm walking, she's sniffing, doing what dogs do. So she's ready to go in the house. So she's making her way toward the backyard. And I'm maybe two houses away. And at the end of the alley, I see somebody. They got red hair. It looks like one of the neighbors, like kind of looking out. But I don't know nobody with red hair. And I don't, also, I think maybe they're scared of Ebony. So I'm like, don't worry about it. Like, she going in the yard. And Ebony look at me, look at the, you know, the person down there, like five, six houses away. Ebony just makes a beeline and runs to the, you know, backyard. So the person still sitting there looking at me. So, you know, I got this new positive vibe walking on sunshine. Skippy, let me go down here and introduce myself. I see my neighbors, what, Dorothy and Tommy. They out in the backyard doing their thing. I love them old people. So they out there doing their garden. I say, hey, what's up, everybody? I say, hey, what's going on, young man? I say, oh, man, you know, just out here with the sunshine. So I'm trying to walk close enough to see this red-haired person come into focus, right? And they still kind of, you know, somebody nervous. I had people around the corner like, who is that? What is that? And the more we close this gap, I'm like, maybe this ain't a good idea. But, hey, I'm in for a penny. I'm in for a pound. Let's see this thing out. So I walk in like two, three houses. I'm like, oh, I know who that is. That's the gay guy that was wearing booty shorts last summer. Like, you know, light-skinned dude. He got this bright red hair. Ain't like he, but he muscular, though. But he feminine in his ways. Well, that's fine, whatever. So dude sitting there looking like, who that? And if you, excuse me, if you, look, if you walking down the street and you see somebody in the alley, like, I don't want to make friends in the alley, but this gay guy, I don't know what his name is, but he was like, like, let's see where this goes. So I'm trying to figure, I'm trying to make friends. He like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with meeting new strangers in the alley, right? So I'm like, hey, what's up, man? I didn't realize, you know, I thought you was one of my neighbors. He was like, yeah, I live right over there. And pointed somewhere. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's what's up. I didn't want to say where I live. Like, yeah, I live in the neighborhood too. He's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, all right, I'm going back in the house now. He's like, mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't scared to meet a stranger in the alley. And there's places to meet strangers. I don't think alleys is the best way to be making Facebook buddies and Instagram friends. But, you know, that happened. That was fun. A little scary, but fun. What else has been going on? Oh, those squirrels are back. So, like, last Thanksgiving, I got squirrels in my attic, and I'm not big on killing things, you know what I'm saying? I'm on some live and let live type stuff. But last Thanksgiving, I poured some antifreeze in a bowl and put it in the attic. I just kind of stuck my hand up there and just kind of slid it up there and then closed the latch, right? And they say antifreeze is sweet, so they'll drink it, and then from there they'll die. I felt very bad about that on Thanksgiving of all days. Like, these squirrels, they in the attic, they, you know, maybe they was having their own Thanksgiving. It's, you know, it's always some kind of religious figure and stuff. Like, hey, y'all, let's give thanks to this new crib. Look at our new crib. And all the other squirrels like, chitter, chitter, chitter. They're like, yeah, I know, right? Look, man, we got a roof over our head. Boy, God is good, ain't he? Look, we moved on up from a deluxe apartment tree to a roof over our head. Look at, well, who doing the dang thing? Ain't no squirrels out there like, yeah, out there bawling, right? So then I open up the hatch. You know, light pours in from, you know, the shaft or whatever, and I just put my little hand out there and just kind of slide it out there like the serpent, like, yeah, here you go. And then I'm assuming the papa squirrel was like, hey, look, y'all, we've been blessed by the Kool-Aid. Have y'all tasted anything like this in y'all lives? And all the other squirrels like they like, nah, we ain't never tasted nothing like that. Oh my God, was this green? Is this green? You could taste the green. And like, I thought squirrels were colorblind. I don't even know, right? And then from there, people just start dropping. Bam, 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 bam. Squirrels dropping, right? Well, the daddy squirrel, you know, that's the one that always, it's always the religious guy or the head guy who always last and tell the story, you know. And as these squirrels over there getting sick and puking and dropping dead, daddy squirrel like, this is a test. We are being tested. Some of y'all don't believe.
And that's why we sick right now. We got to purge the squirrels who don't believe, what's the squirrels with the nut allergy. Like, send them out, right? And then from there, you know, they numbers, I guess, start flourishing again. I don't hear them as much as I used to. But I got to do another purge, y'all. I got to send up some more of that purple drink. Either that, I got to pay somebody to trap. And I guess it's like $50. But they put the traps up there. And every week they come by and they change the traps, so they let them go, right? But that kind of feel like slavery a little bit. Like, why have you forsaken us, old father from down below, with your purple drink and your smart watch that doth tell time and counteth thine steps? Why have you forsaken me? I don't know. So, you know, been doing that. What else? Speaking of paying attention to my neighborhood, there's some I see, right? Not now. It's just I've been noticing over the years. There is a huge tree in my neighbor's yard. This tree is as big as the house, and it's got branches that extend. It covers the whole house in shade, you know? And every year, the same thing happens, and it shocks me every year. Right, so typically I'm minding my own business. I'm walking, looking down the ground for some reason, and I see something very small. It looked like a wad of chewing gum, or like maybe somebody was eating and threw a piece of food down or something. And I see it every year. It takes a couple days. I pass it by multiple times because I'm fascinated by it for some reason. I see ants go to it and from it. It's a baby bird. Every year, without fail, around this time, a baby bird plummets from somewhere up here in the tree and just dies. And it's not old enough to fly. Like, they almost like embryos, but there's no shell or nothing. And I don't know, man. I think about that. Like, you know, mom bird, daddy bird, they make this little life. And I'm sure there's multiple eggs there. And then, you know, like one day, dad goes get some worms, and mom, maybe she, you know, fly off to go, I don't want water, I don't know. And then they come back, they count, you know, their little babies, you know, Tom, Dick, and where's Harry? You know, look down, it's like, but they got to push on, you know. Think about that, man. It's been like 5 years, I keep saying it. And somebody's like, well, can't you do something about it? I'm like, I don't, what am I supposed to do? Like, put up a baby fence on the nest? And then the person was like, well, no, can't you put something on the ground? What am I supposed to put on the ground? It's I guess it's the nature of things, I guess. So, one more thing I gotta tell y'all. So this whole new attitude on life, it's been pretty jiggy. It's been pretty jiggy, pretty decent. Getting some positive feedbacks. The world has been smiling back at me. But then sometimes things I don't like come and test me. So yesterday, I'm at an event. It's called Cigars and Sundresses. You know, I'm down for that, you know. All right, Real J, I ain't trying. Yeah, so I'm, you know, cigars and cigarettes. Oh, cigars and sundresses. So I go in, I got my little non-alcoholic beer. No, I had a pineapple and Sprite. I don't know, like a virgin tequila sunrise, right? So I'm sitting there, you know, I'm in good company and whatnot. And there's a song playing. So I got to know what this song is, right? I'm with, you know, got good company. They're like, yo, what song is it? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to go ask the DJ, right? Well, the guy, he's a shorter guy, older guy, which is cool. But I had noticed earlier that he was a high-waisted man. He had childbirthing hips. And you short. You know, if you had a sundress on, you probably could have got a free drink. Not from me, but maybe from the guy in the alley. I don't know. And I ain't judging. I'm just saying. I just don't trust a brother with high waist hips. Just childbirthing hips. I don't know what's going on. So I go to him. I got my mask on. I'm like, yo, man, this song is really cool. Like, who is this? And because it's, you know, a club atmosphere, it's actually a wine bar or something. The brother's trying to listen to me. You know, you in the club, sometimes you gotta get close to people, right? So the brother he's like, what? What'd you say?
So I say what I'm saying again, but I'm a little close to him. I got my mask on. But as I'm talking to him, he put his hands on my waist. He put his hand, one hand on my waist. Like, huh? Like, sorry, what did you say, young man? Come a little closer. I can't hear you. So I'm like, yo, this song. And as soon as his hand made contact with my hip, my high hip, you know, my regular man size hip on a 6 foot guy, like I look at the hand and I finish saying what I'm about to say. It's like, bro, this the wrong place to be putting your hands. We're in the middle of a pandemic. I almost get your hands off me. You know, don't this whole caressing when I move, you move, slow dance with my father, man, get you. Anyway, he told me the song. It was a remake by Jennifer Hudson. I think R. Kelly sung. I'm like, really? That's R. Kelly? He was like, yeah, man. With your hands on my hip? Look, man, I don't. What? You put your hands upon my hip when you did, we did, I'll break your leg. Something happens that hard, y'all. That's all. All right. And now it's time for the BTP news. I'm not singing a song. The BTP news is real simple. All right. I found a couple headlines that made me laugh, nonsensical in nature, and then from there, I try to figure out what happened, and then I read the article and see how close we got to the actual story, right? All right, so here we go. Hold on, I'll be taking screenshots, y'all, so I gotta get everything ready. I guess you're saying, that ain't my problem, you should have did that before you started. You're right. All right, here we go. All right. first story, Indiana candy shop goes viral for job posting that includes, quote, sexist rant. Okay, let's see. Speaking with the brother working from the sugar factory. All right, here's how it goes down. All right, Okay, yeah, we'll go with that. All right, let's see if this Indiana candy shop. All right, so they got the. Okay, yeah, this is how it goes. All right, so a candy shop needs someone to work for them. Let's just say Mr. Willy Wonka, right? Mr. Willy Wonka's an older guy, and the Oompa Loompas. Somebody put some purple drink up in there in their attic. Right, so the Oompa Loompas are dropping like flies, right? But Willie, you know, Mr. Wonka, what they call him, he an older guy. He ain't PC politically correct. He don't know the terminologies. He been locked up in the candy factory, R. Kelly, the chocolate factory, you know, for a good little minute. So, you know, the Oompa Loompas come in like, we need help on the floor. Oompa Loompa doopity-doo. Someone sick and it could be you. Is it Corona? We need some help. There's nothing that rhymes with help. So you were like, okay, get out of here. I told you stop all that singing anyway. Like, hey, I'm trying to get a record deal. Don't hate me, hate the game. Alright? So like, alright, cool. So Willie is trying to be cute, right? He trying to be jazzy. And sometimes, look, if you need help, just go ahead and say, look, looking for a person to get stuck children out of the chocolate pipe. Must have small hands. Microsoft Excel experience preferential. On job training. Just, you know, who, what, when, where, why, how. But Willie, he like, look, let's see. Are you down to get sticky? Are you ready for a sweet time? We'll call Willie at the chocolate factory. You know, licorice is okay. What's it called? Licorice whips? Must know your way around a licorice stick. How many licks does it take to get to the center road tootsie of a tootsie pop? Open up the job and find out. Slide in your DM as necessary. Like, you can't do that, you know. Yeah, I don't mind a little your chocolate melts in your mouth. Not in your hand. Holla at Willie. You know, you can't do that, you know. And then from there, maybe he used some of the language that you ain't supposed to use, you know. What do you say? Something like, you want these sugar plum fairies? No, wait a minute. What, sugar plums? I don't know. Some kind of innuendo. And then from there, you got in trouble. Right? And now it's getting sued. All right, here we go. The story. A candy shop in Indiana recently went viral after its owner used a post on Facebook about hiring to seemingly vent some of the issues he had with employees. In the post, he reportedly attributed Some of the negative behaviors, mainly to girls, which cause some social media users to respond with accusations of sexism. So ain't got no problem with the guys at the candy shop, just the women. Okay. The Facebook page for, I'm not going to put the company out there, has apparently been deleted. Before it was taken down, the owner posted about how the shop was hiring for various positions, including ice cream cake decorators and customer service, the New York Post. According to the news outlet, after explaining that the shop's motto was work hard, be nice, the shop's owner continued the post by complaining about the different types of people he's had to deal with as employees. He reportedly claimed about whiners, complainers, and lazy workers, while also creating nicknames for other types of workers, such as roamers, hiders, and controllers. To me, none of this sounds sexist, but let's keep reading. The post took an unexpected turn. Oh, here we go. However, when it began describing a type of worker that the owner calls splitters. Apparently, the owner uses this nickname for the type of worker who tries to split people apart. According to the news outlet, he followed this up by complaining that the behavior was mainly seen in young girls who were taught to behave this way by their mothers. Later in the post, he reportedly said boys, were more likely to duke it out. Users on Facebook reportedly responded by calling the post and the shop owner sexist. Several users reportedly commented that the owner didn't come across as a good boss to work for, according to New York Post. At least one response accused him of being a woman-hating troll. The New York Post reports that online critics described the post as sexist. The shop owner responded to the backlash by apologizing for the language used in some of the responses of the shop's Facebook page. He also reportedly said that he thought the post was benign and that he thought everyone else had experienced the behaviors he was complaining about. See, that's an old man move. Like, what? Ain't nobody dealing with no young ladies? Huh? At the candy shop? Huh? You offer them a pudding pop? Next thing you know, you on Facebook. You on live. Huh? You on IG. Getting all the likes, shares, and subscribe. I'm just out here trying to push this candy to these kids. What's wrong? Huh?
All right, let's see. Let's see. This story. Okay. All right. I don't know how to say this brother's name, so I don't know if it's MC Kevin or Mick Kevin. But let's see. Mick Kevin, I'm going to go with that, falls to his death in attempt to avoid getting caught cheating on his wife. All right, y'all. Now, I want y'all to understand the loss of life is not funny per se. I mean, you know, there are some times things happen, but okay. So all right. So I'm looking at the picture of this brother. He's a young guy, handsome, he's athletic, he's covered in tattoos, he's got a big tiger on his chest, you know. And he kind of gives off a douchey vibe. This is an initial me looking at the brother. And he looked like he's a guy in the early 20s. And maybe when you're early 20s, you might not make the best decisions. Like, to be married is to make a lifelong commitment. Every day you're going to get up, you're going to try to make this person happy. But what you're not going to do is bring somebody else into your situation. It's you and her against the world, right? So, Mr. McKevin, you know, you're a party guy. You know, got married early. And, you know, he's straying, right? So he meets a young lady at a party, even though it's supposed to be in the house anyway, right? It's a party going on. He come through the door, kicking the door with some old dudes. Hey, Mick G's in the house. And you know, you the party guy. Everybody like, oh, snap, Mick G. Mick K. And then he probably got a little cool saying, when he opened up the door, like, hey, did somebody order a McFlurry? Because it's awfully chilly. Like, oh, snap, Mick Kevin, what's up, man? Where's your wife, bro? And he's like, hey, man, lift the ball and chant the house. It's time for the fellas. Saturday is time for the guys. Whatever the saying is, right?
So he meets a little young lady. She probably had too much to drink, and she like, oh my God, like, there go with Kevin. I liked him since high school. And so, you know, they had a party or whatever. And McKevin, he thought, you know, thought the missus, she was asleep, you know what I'm saying? He thought, you know, he put his thing down, you know, put that, slept her that, you know, that Bill Cosby special, thought she was going to be asleep. He said, put some drugs in your pudding pop, dog. Right? So he over here, and he in the room with this young lady, maybe where they put the coats at and whatnot. They rolling around and all this stuff. She's like, oh my God, like, I never do this. He's like, I know, baby, I'm scared too. But let's see where this takes us, right? So, while they in the room, and, you know, his homie's like, oh, McKevin caught another one. Oh, she go, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, she's loving it, right? So all of a sudden, the door kick open. Bam. I'm talking about the door to the apartment. Boom, kick open the door. It's Mrs. McKay. And they like, oh, snap, oh, no, busted, bro, right? She come in, she like, where is Kevin? They're like, you looking for McKay? You're like, no, that's my husband. His name is Kevin. Where's Kevin at? And they're like, I don't even know. Why don't you have a drink or something? Why don't you be cool? And you're like, uh-uh. No, Brandon. Hey, my name's B-Rad. Like, no, Brandon. Where's my husband? And he was like, I don't know, but he's definitely not in the room about the bone of chick. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I guess I just go put my coat down. Like, yeah, no, totally, make yourself at home. He's like, oh, snap. Forgot McKay's in the coat room about the bone of chick, right? So, McKevin, you know, he between the Parkers and the, you know, the coats and whatnot, he hit a commotion. He was like, man, that sounds like my wife. The little young lady, she like, wife, what, wife, shut up. I'm trying to listen. And then once he was like, I guess I just kick in the door. He was like, man, my wife kick hard too. So my man, he was like, look, I'm going to go like hang out the window. Cause it's hot. Is it hot in here? It's hot in here. I'm just hang out the window right here. And she was like, okay, cool. And Miss McKay, she kicking the door. Boom. McKevin, where you at? She like, there's no one here but us coats. Because the little girl, she threw the Parkers and stuff on top of her, these leather Gucci coats and stuff. She's like, ain't nobody up in here. We just us coats. He's like, you must think I'm stupid. Right? So she looking around. She's like, Carrie, look, I know you're in here. I smell your cheap cologne. And I see your Yeezys under the bed. Where are you? Where you at? And he holding her. He's like, oh, bro, man. I shouldn't have skipped arm day. Oh, my traps and my buys, right? And then from there, he know he only got two choices. Cause she coming toward the window. He's like, why is the window open? He's like, look, either I can stay here and get caught, or I can just let go. And McKevin's like, you know what? I belong to the streets. And she looked at him like, Kevin, you ain't, you piece of, you ain't, I ain't get caught cheating, no face, no case. And that's how the story ends. All right, so let's read it. Oh, he's a singer. Maybe it's MC Kevin. MC Kevin, also known as, you can look him up if you want to, fell off the fifth floor balcony of the Rio de Janeiro Hotel on May 16th while attempting to avoid being caught by his wife. She's got a Brazilian-looking name. Oh, okay. This story got a little bit interesting. You know, I already know. MC Kevin was probably like, look, man, it's the fifth floor. He's trying to do the math for floors. 12 feet, I think. We in Rio de Janeiro. Centimeters, foot, meter, kilogram. I can make it. And just let go. Okay. But check this out, fam. The entertainer had apparently been involved in a drunken threesome. According to Extra Globo, the young artist was reportedly trying to use the balcony to escape to a low-level hotel room, but ended up landing next to the pool. Dang. Missed it by that much. Authorities took the cell phones of model lady and friend guy who were allegedly in the hotel room when Kevin fell. Okay, so two guys and one girl. Okay. Kevin and someone else had met this lady on the boardwalk before taking her back to the suite where the three reportedly, quote, maintained sexual relations. The Brazilian artist then heard a rapping at the door and jumped off the balcony to get to another balcony under his, fearing his wife arriving and finding them in the room. He instead landed on the concrete. Wow. He was like, I can make it. Once help arrived, Kevin was rushed to the nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead. Following the tragedy, Kevin's widow, 33, shared a message on Instagram about her late husband. What do you say to your husband who tried to jump to another balcony like Mario in the midst of a threesome? The wrong kind of threesome, really. Like two guys and one chick. Dang. Okay, let's see. What did she say? Quote, "You took a piece of me with you," she wrote. "You were always so incredible. It's not fair for you to leave like this. It's not. It's not." Yeah, because she was going to get in your trail, bro. Like, oh, you think it's because you dead? Like, I can't. Like, you, I got so many things to say to you. Yeah, that's kind of messed up. All right, actor. He won the Wayne's, guys. Also took to social media and shared his feelings over the loss of his friend. It says F-U-C-K, man. Foda. I don't know what that is. F-O-D-A. "My little brother, at McKevin, my heart hurts. Such a sweet, pure soul. You were like a mischievous little boy with a golden heart. You loved your people. You loved your friends. You loved Brazil. You loved the favelas." What's that? F-A-V, as in Victor, E-L-A-S. "You loved life. I'm sad, bro. You have so much more to do. Who will I party with when I come to Brazil? I love you, brother. Please kiss my mom up there, and she will hold you. You're in good hands, my bro." And there's a whole bunch of hashtags. "To his Brazilian fans, just know he loved you the most. I'm hurt with you." The Sun reported, the newspaper, The Sun reported that the hotel room Kevin had been in had condoms strewn, good word, S-T-R-E-W-N, that means thrown about, all over, as well as bottles of alcohol. Someone claimed that he paid her $376 for the tryst. Another good word, tryst, T-R-Y-S-T. It's like an entanglement. But $376, a very specific price. Like, you would think you ended in fives, right? $10, $20, $50, $55. She went $376. Why did she give change? The Sun reported that the hotel room... Oh, okay, yeah, that's it. How do you pay somebody $376 for you and your homie? Like, how do you split that? Let's see, $375. Ooh, math. Okay, so I can do this. 100, 200, 300. So that'd be 50, 150. 75, would that be 134, 50? So let's see. 134.50. That sounds about right. 134.50 per guy. If the math wrong, somebody send me a text. But I'm almost, I put money on that one. 134.50. All right. With that being said, this has been another episode of Bro 3 Podcast. Please enjoy your Memorial Weekend. Remember why we celebrate the Memorial Day weekend. Be sweet. Try and put some positivity out there. If you need to talk to me, you got some questions, concerns, comments about the show, 219-964-7781. And be sweet, y'all. All right, please. Thank you. All right, later.